Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we've opened the phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to read a passage that is just a foundational truth that we need to rest our lives upon, build our lives upon. And it's a passage that is so familiar to us sometimes that we just overlook it. We don't pay attention to it. But I think this is one of those passages that you must pay attention to, that you must really dive into, dissect, figure out exactly what in the world Jesus is saying to us. He's having a conversation with Pharisees. It's recorded in John chapter 8. It's a passage that's emblazed on, you know, buildings all over the United States and in various places around the world. And Jesus said this to the Jews who had believed him. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's our theme for the month, freedom, freedom in Christ Jesus. How are we going to be set free? How are we going to experience this freedom that Christ has for us? Well, it starts with truth, knowing truth. Truth is the very thing that sets us free. Well, how are we going to know truth? Well, we're going to have to follow the author of truth, the one who is full of truth, and that is Jesus Christ himself. When we learn about his teachings and we start to understand what those teachings are all about, then we're going to know the truth, and that truth is going to set us free. If you're in bondage today, if you're struggling, if you're feeling anxious, if you are, all of those negative things that we experience out there in this world today, probably at the source of it is this error that you're holding on to. You're not believing truth in some way, shape, or form. So if you want to be set free, you're going to have to go to truth. And if you're going to go to truth, you're going to have to go to Jesus, because he is the one who is full of grace and truth.
Yes, indeed. Basic Gospel, everybody. We want to hear from you on this edition, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and they're open because we want to give you the opportunity to get an immediate answer to your question or discuss your particular issue. So if you've got either, we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, an issue that Steve is struggling with lives in Franklin, Indiana. He says Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10 talk about us standing before the judgment seat of Christ and giving an account for the things we did in the body, whether good or bad. He says, "I find these two passages confusing when compared to other passages. For example, Hebrews 10:17 says that God remembers our sins and lawless acts no more. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God is not counting men's sins against them. And Romans 8:1 tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If God is not counting our sins against us and we are not condemned, then why would we end up standing before Christ to give an account of the things we've done, both good and bad?" I think a good question from Steve in Franklin, Indiana.
It's an excellent question, and Steve, thank you for writing to us. It's interesting, we talk here quite a bit about the Word of God and how we must read it in context. Mm-hmm. And I think both of these passages, we need to set the context of it to really understand the meaning. For example, in Romans chapter 14, in verse 10, Paul raises this question, "You then, why do you judge your brother?" That's the issue. And in this world today, we see so many people standing in judgment of others. We see Christians standing in judgment toward one another, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
It is one of those big issues. And as the world looks in, it's one of those things that makes the world scratch their step back and scratch their heads and say, I thought these Christians were supposed to love each other, and yet all I see them doing is judging one another. So to stop the judging of one another, especially of Christians, he says this, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. God is the judge, not you, not me. So let's leave that into God's hands. And oftentimes when we stand in judgment of one another, it's because we're not thinking the other person is doing enough for God. You know, I'm over here working my tail off.
Yeah.
I am just giving it my all to advance the kingdom of God. Why aren't you doing likewise? And so we judge one another. And then we say, well, what I'm doing is more important than what you're doing. And then you'll argue back, no, what I'm doing is more important than what you're doing. And to all of that, Paul writes, well, hold on, forget about that. God's going to judge those things. And we know that's true, in 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about the Bema seat, and he's going to judge our works, those things that Christ has done through us. Some of the things that we think are so important are merely just going to burn up. But those things that we may not even recall, we're going to see that those are going to stand eternally. Why? Because the source of those works was Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
He's the one that produced them. So when it says that we as believers are going to stand in judgment, it's not for sins. Those have already been dealt with, haven't
they?
Once and for all, by Jesus Christ through his shed blood on the cross. What we're going to stand in judgment for is our works, those things that Christ has done in and through us. I think it's going to be a glorious moment when we see clearly how God used us. I think that's just going to be one of the most rewarding experiences, because right now we're not sure. We're not exactly sure how God uses us in this big scheme of things. I recall many years ago, I was involved in a counseling situation, and this guy kept coming and coming, and finally one day things just clicked for him, and he really started seeing, you know, the wonders of Jesus Christ and all that he had accomplished. And in my mind, I knew exactly the thing that I said that flipped the switch for him. And so I asked him about it, just wanting to get some pats on the back and say, I knew it. And he started talking about something that I had no remembrance of. I had no earthly idea I'd said to him. And God had used that in his life, not the things that I thought were so wonderful and nifty and keen. And I think that's what we're going to see at that Bema seat, exactly how God has used us. And it's not a judgment to be feared. A lot of times we're so used to the word judgment in a negative sense.
Yes.
But it can be used in a positive sense. And I think that's the judgment that we're going to receive from the Lord. So we don't have to fear it.
And even for those who are lost, the question is simply, are they in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have they accepted Jesus? And if the answer is no, they're lost. Even that judgment isn't an issue of, you know, dragging out all these volumes of horrible behavior. It's fundamentally about Jesus. Our salvation is about Jesus. Someone's loss is about Jesus. Let's just focus on him and get rid of the fear.
Absolutely. The other thing about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I think that's a very poor translation of the words, good or bad. I don't think the translator should have used those two words, because when we read good or bad, we're thinking about good behavior or bad behavior. We're thinking in terms of sins. And what these words actually mean, they convey a sense of worth. Were these things of value to the kingdom, or were they worthless as far as the kingdom of God is concerned? There's a lot of things that we do in this body that are worthless as far as the kingdom of God are concerned. But there's much that Jesus does in and through us that is of extreme worth to the advancement of the kingdom. And again, that's what we're going to find out when we stand before him. It's going to be a glorious moment. Absolutely nothing to fear.
Yeah. Well, Steve, we hope you're listening. And that was a great explanation, guys. I appreciate that, as well as Steve will. Plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. They're wide open right now, so the great opportunity is yours if you call quickly, 844-322-2742. Richard.
I'd like to circle back on that a little bit. You introduced this with talking about the truth will set you free. If you are afraid of judgment, that means there's some error that's tying you up.
Hmm.
Find Jesus, find freedom, the truth will set you free and the fear will go away.
Absolutely. Great point.
That's good stuff right there. Again, 844-322-2742. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us.
Wanted to share something with our listeners today. Jose Caraballo sent a poem to us, beautiful poem. We posted it on our Facebook page. If you have not gone to our Facebook page and liked us, I encourage you to do so today. Do it right now. Facebook, Basic Gospel. But we posted this poem. I'm just going to read a couple of lines from it. Sometimes I think where my dad could be, then through scriptures I see you living in me. Thank you, God, for filling the space, the hole in my heart only you can take. I didn't earn your love, but Jesus took the cross to shame the wise and save the lost. Before you came into my heart, I felt so alone, like nobody cared about my soul. I called on your name in need of a Savior. I learned it's about faith in Christ. You did humanity a favor. I cry because of joy and happiness. Thank you, Jesus. You gave me life.
That is just beautiful.
It is a wonderful, wonderful poem. And Jose wrote to us and said he grew up without a father, and it was a very difficult upbringing for him. And he thought, boy, if I could just have a father, how my life would have been different, how I would have been happier, and all of those sort of things. And he found what he was looking for in the person of Christ Jesus. And Jesus opened that way into the very Father's presence, and he found in God exactly what he was looking for. And Jose, thank you for sharing that. There's much more. There's two other stanzas to this poem. So if you are in Jose's position, if you grew up without a father, you're trying to fill that hole in your heart, Jesus Christ is the place. So go to our Facebook page, read this poem. I think it'll be a good encouragement to you.
I remember long ago someone asked Major Ian Thomas after having read one of his poems, if he needed more fire in his poems. And he said, no, I probably didn't need more poems in the fire. So that is not true of Jose's poem.
That's right. It's a good one.
I dropped him a note back to tell him what beautiful words he had put together that expresses his very heart about the Father. So it was great.
Yes. Well, let's go to Lynn in New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, you guys. How are you feeling today?
Doing well. How about you?
All right. God bless you, Richard. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Bob Davis. God bless you, Bob Davis.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
Hey, listen, I know this is going to sound like a, I don't know, peculiar question, but I mean, because I'm actually giving the answer away while I'm, asking the question, but there's a reason for the question. Anyway, so the question is, what's the difference between a believer and a non-believer?
The non?
Yeah.
Just to be a little sarcastic there with you, Lynn, but
Yeah, I know. Well, there's a reason for it, but, you know, it's just, well, you know, maybe you guys remember my name, but anyway, just, you know, being a believer as long as I have, you know, the truth of the matter is when, you know, when you've really acknowledged that you need a Savior and that His name is Jesus and what He did for you, and that Christianity begins with a do and not a done, you know, there is fruit. I mean, you can tell the difference between, you know, a believer and a non-believer, someone that really truly is born again, you know. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I really am. And, you know, yeah, the answers are there, but I'm just...
Well, then, let me go to the Word of God, John 16. And I think this is a very important passage as it relates to your question. You know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come. He said, unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, this is the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So three pretty big issues: sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit is going to bring truth to the world about those three things. So in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. So this was Jesus talking. So the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. And in regard to sin, He's going to say that the essence of sin is that men do not believe in Jesus. That's the real issue. So a non-believer or somebody that is lost is someone that has never trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. A believer is one that has trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, what's interesting about this, Lynn, is that this isn't just kind of an intellectual assent. That one day, you know, you read, you know, an interesting book or something, and you decided, well, I'm going to believe Jesus. Well, in this transaction, when the Holy Spirit brings this truth to a person's heart and repentance takes place, and that's a heart thing that happens, their heart changes. The very nature of their heart changes. So a lost person, the nature of their heart is unbelief. They're not interested in finding out about Jesus. They're not interested in learning to trust Him. They want to do things their way. They want to be able to fulfill the desires of their flesh without any hindrances. That's the nature of a lost person's heart. But when that gospel hits that heart, it changes it in such a way that it becomes a heart that is willing, that wants to, that actually desires to trust in Jesus. It becomes a believing heart. That's what defines really a believer, and that's what differentiates a believer from a non-believer, is that a believer's heart has been changed by the very grace of God to want to trust Jesus on a day-to-day basis. That's at the heart of who we are as believers in Christ. It's pretty good news, isn't it?
Amen. Absolutely. And you know, the truth of the matter is there is a verse in 1 Peter or 2 Peter where he talks about just as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, so he says, you know, Peter says, so I'm afraid that your hearts and minds will be led astray from the simplicity that is in the Christ. And, you know, being a, you know, the truth of it, the matter of it is that salvation is very simple, but we want to be God. We all have a God complex. And, you know, you really made it very clear, Bob. I mean, because it's, so really what you're saying is, it's just really, I mean, you guys talk about it all the time anyway, going from unbelief to belief. You know, I personally, I can't fathom and understand how, you know, most people can't believe that God exists. I mean, they know there's a God, they just don't know who He is. So, you know, I ask you that question because, you know, obviously I am a Christian, but I have, you know, there's, you know, particular sins that I, you know, struggle with. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I get so, you know, I tend to be the type of perfectionist type of disposition, you know, and I look at, you know, my flesh and my sins more than I do what Christ did on that cross. So sometimes I wonder, you know, am I really believing? You know, am I really believing? And, I mean, I know I am, but I know the difference. I mean, you made it very clear in terms of those who, you know, choose deliberately not to look to him, not to trust in him, not to trust in the Savior. So I appreciate that, Bob.
You're welcome, Lynn. As far as that everyday living, and that's what you're talking about, you know, as far as trying to live out the Christian life in this pressure-packed world that we live in, what you're going to find as a believer, that when the temptations of the world come knocking, there's this conflict, because your heart says, trust the Lord. Your flesh says, give in to the temptation. And there's the conflict. And so when we give in to the temptation, at that moment, we're saying in our minds that what the world has to offer is better than what Jesus has to offer. But that's in conflict with what's going on in our heart. And that's what we experience as believers. And in a weird sense of it, that is a confirmation that God truly is alive, living inside of us. If he wasn't alive, there wouldn't be that conflict.
Yeah.
Well put, exactly. Well put. I remember her maybe 20-plus years ago hearing the very fact that you're having an issue with it, you know, shows the very fact that you are a Christian, because if it's not bothering you, if you're not having some type of conviction, well then, you know, there's something wrong. And that, what you just said, you know, really rang a bell. Hey, Mr. Rich Pepper, do you have any thoughts on this?
Just stop sinning. No.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah. You know, Paul added to this in Romans 8. There's a reason why Romans 8 is my favorite chapter in all the Bible.
I know.
If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ, which means if you follow with Bob's definition, you have the Spirit of Christ. If you've started to believe in him and accepted him, then you're no longer living just in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Spirit. And one of the Spirit's jobs, other than to make us uncomfortable when we're walking inconsistently with our new identity, is to convince us that we actually belong to Jesus. And that is worth a lot.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
John talked to us about that in his first letter in chapter 5. You can know that you belong to Jesus because the Spirit is telling you that. And, you know, I never look at your behavior. There are some days where you're faking it really good, and there are other days when you're just crashing and burning. All of us are that way. Look to Jesus every time and get the truth from him.
Lynn.
Well, well put. Yes, thank you so much, Richard. God bless you guys.
Lynn, did you get your money's worth on that?
Yeah, that Richard Piper guy, he really doesn't know what he's talking about, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear from you, Lynn. Keep listening and call us again. We'd love to hear from you. Friends, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. Your prayers and gifts keep the love of the Lord Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. Click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. A gift of $15 or more will get a copy of Bob Christopher's brand-new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on its way to you as our gift. Again, click Donate at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's 844-412-2742. And by the way, for additional copies of Bob's book, visit our online book site. That's at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Bob, elaborate on the book.
Well, the book really answers the question how your Christian life is really supposed to work. I think that's what so many of us struggle, just as Lynn was talking about. Yet, you know, we know we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, yet we still struggle with sin. We feel like we don't have the power that we should, and we wonder why. And I think it's because we're approaching the Christian life from the wrong perspective. We're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to make it happen through human effort. But that's not God's plan for us. He has a simple plan. It is simply by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The most important thing we can do is learn how to trust Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis, and we'll see this Christian life being lived out in our experience.
Absolutely. Well, Ben, again, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.